The following is a presentation of Uninterrupted Canada. Welcome to the Benny and Bo Show with your hosts, Ben Hebert and Bo Levi Mitchell.
All right, welcome to episode 13, the season finale. Can't believe we actually made it here.
13 shows, we didn't get gassed.
Didn't get gassed. Good. We learned some things, but I had a bye week here. You got to get in a little curl. I actually got to watch, which was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was good.
Y'all got right there up to the semis, you know.
Playing at home here, right in Chessmere, was awesome. Got to play in front of a bunch of family and friends. We're doing well. I think we're number three in the world right now, behind Mowat and Gushu. They passed us here, so. Yeah, we've been playing some good curling, getting ramped up for our Olympic trials in a couple weeks in Saskatoon, so it's gearing up. You always say you don't want to peak too early when you don't win, right? Like, if you don't win, you're like, well, it's because we didn't want to win early. We wanted to win. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
We really wanted to win. But we played great. You know, we balled out. We had a good game. We losing to one of the best teams in the world, and it was packed here. So I got to play in front of, like, wife, kids, sponsors, friends, golf buddies, hockey buddies. It was super deadly, and yeah, Chesterman did a great job, buddy.
Yeah, I got to talk to Devo about it, and I didn't even think about it until I was watching, and I was like, man, the way y'all judge yourselves is off your wins and how hard it is to actually win. Like, y'all play a tournament every single match. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's always a tournament. We go out there and it's one game. You know, it's one game. Hey, did you win or lose? Yeah, you won. Nice. You're on the right track. Like, well, y'all won, you know, 5 out of 7 games, but and we take it as a negative because you lost semifinals. But that's really, Cooey almost dropped a hell of a shot there to hit a three-ender.
Yeah, almost a quad to make the
yeah to take, been take the dub over Gushu.
I think the roof would have exploded if he would have made that one. It was good, but we're trending in the right direction. I mean, the goal this year obviously is get the Olympic Games in China, and
trials are coming up.
Trials in 2 weeks, man.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm going to be disappearing into phantom mode here the next two weeks, just face down. And
Same here. We got two games left.
You guys are almost in the playoffs.
Almost. So yeah, we've got BC and then Winnipeg. So basically, we're 6-6. You know, BC is 4-8. So they have to win both games to catch up to us, which means they have to beat us and beat whoever their second opponent is. We'd have to lose both games. And then they would win the season series there. So we got them at their place. So hopefully we can go out there, take care of business, and you know, book the ticket to the playoffs there, and then sharpen things up versus Winnipeg.
I love it. Well, yeah. If you're in the playoffs and I'm not curling, I'm going to be out there cheering you on. It's going to be good. Oh, yeah. It's gonna be a good season. I mean, started off with a little bit of a slow start for us this year, but the boys are rolling. Now get into the playoffs, get into the trials. Perfect time for the pod to end.
Yep.
And it is our last pod for season one. We're hopefully being back in the new year after we take a little break to dial into our own sports.
It is. Season finale brought to you by DraftKings. Want to thank those guys. It's been amazing, man. Like, we kind of just discussed why we wanted to do this pod, right? And I came to you and I was like, hey, man, like, I would love to do a podcast. Everybody, you know, if you watched episode one, you know the whole story. But for those that didn't, maybe that you caught on here a little late, yeah, you know, hey, I want to do a pod. Everybody we golf with, you know, loves listening to us. They love the banter back and forth. We got to do something. And I approach you and you're like, yeah, like, you know, I'd love to, but I don't want to do any small time. Like, it's got to be big time. So then you know, took it upon yourself, hit up Scotty.
Yeah, I said, I just think the podcast, you know, it's so watered down.
Saturated,
competing with all these podcasts. And anybody can do it from a phone. I said, you know what? If we're going to do this, I'd like to do it right. I had a great connection with Scott Moore, who used to be at Sportsnet, hired me to do the sheet show for the curling there. Called him, said, hey, I'm good buddies with Bo Levi. He lives just up the street. We're golf buddies. We're thinking about doing a pod, kill some time. It's COVID. Let's get after it. So we do the audition. Oh, we were so green.
The best part about the audition for the behind the scenes for everybody is, you know, so he's like, hey, all right, yeah, well, I'll give you a chance. You know, we're starting this up. We need a podcast. You and Benny put something together and we'll do an audition, kind of a pilot, and see how it goes. And we prepared for a straight week
pod.
And to realize that after that, we didn't prepare more than probably 2 hours for any other podcast.
We is a stretch. Bo probably didn't put in more than 2 hours, but you know, I'm the curler. I like to be a little more prepared than Bo. So it was a lot of fun. You know, we did the job interview, you know, Uninterrupted took a chance on us, basically saying we got the curler, we got the quarterback, let's do it. And the reason why we wanted to do the podcast is I said to you, if we're going to do it, I want to get some good athletes on the show, hear their story. And I remember saying, I remember when we first met, I was asking, you know, about your shoulder and playing in Calgary, winning the Grey Cups. I was intrigued. You're like, who's this guy asking me all these questions? God damn. But when I go to the Olympics and I met all those other athletes, you know, speed skater, bobsled, all that kind of stuff, I like hearing their story about their sport and how they got to the pinnacle of their, because it's different than curling, you know, different roads, different paths, different walks of life. So I loved hearing it. So I thought that's what I wanted the podcast to be about, to dive into their sport and hear their story and how they got there. And I found out that that wasn't really it for me. Now that I've done it and I've been behind it, I liked hearing this stuff away from sport. I loved hearing about their hobbies they do outside of sport. I loved hearing about their golf game if they weren't a golfer. I liked hearing, you know, Doug Flutie tell us he plays baseball and he plays hockey, like things about these athletes I would have no idea. I loved all the people on there telling us they were Ryder fans. That was beautiful to give you a little bar. Of course. Right?
I couldn't, but it's probably three quarters of the fans that we had actually. But yeah, I mean, for same, it was, you know, for me, I thought, I kept telling you, I was like, for me, it's that I want to know the moment when, like the moment this athlete knew exactly when they had it, you know, when they could do it, when they knew that I can get to the top of my sport. But I agree with you, man. Like once we had him on, it was, oh man, like so many of these athletes, men and women, people from all different walks of life,
normal people,
are so much more like us than we thought. Like, oh, because, you know, that's kind of why we connected, is because we're like, man, we love every single sport. You know, we're naive in the fact that we think we're great at every single one of them. And then we talk to these people and it's like, oh yeah, well, no, I love my sport, but I love golfing more. I love this more. You know, it was so interesting to find that out, like talking to Lee Westwood to me, I, you know, childhood guy for me that I was always watching, and he's over there talking about different sports. And I'm just like, man, it's so awesome to see how many people are just so much more like us than we really thought.
Totally. I remember even when we got Doug Flutie on the show and you were like, I got us Doug Flutie from, you know who Doug Flutie, I'm like, do I know who Doug Flutie is?
I didn't ask you if you know who Doug Flutie is.
He's like the best CFL quarterback of all time. And so Bo starts telling me the stuff about Doug Flutie. I'm like, hey, Bo, I know more about Doug Flutie than you do. I'm like, he was like our hero growing up. So to be able to, I mean, I was more like, there was a lot of athletes that we got that I was super pumped to get, but there was certainly athletes I got on there that I never thought I'd ever get the chance to talk to. Yeah. And it was great. Great feedback. A lot of the stuff we learned, the technical side, what goes into a podcast and the work, especially one of, you know, this magnitude to do the video, do the audio, all the peeps. Like, I learned how to do a live ad read. Like, we talked about 40 Creek. They got their new stuff here from Foxheart. They got double barrel. I've been slinging it for pretty much the 3-4 months of this duration at the Stamps games, at the Flames game, sipping on it. They've been winning awards in Canada forever. Unbelievable. Check these guys out, 40 Creek. So you didn't see what you got. I just did there.
Didn't even realize it.
You didn't realize I was doing an ad read, but I was doing an ad read for 40 Creek. Check out our sponsors at 40 Creek. So there's things that you learn going into a podcast that you just don't have no idea about, that it was a lot of fun.
Man, and it was funny because, you know, for me, I was a vision guy. I wanted, every time we do this, I want Aiden, I want you to bring up this clip. I want you to add in this noise. And they were kind of like, okay, yeah. Hey kid, pump your brakes. First of all, here's a roadcaster. You can control those things. No, we don't have the budget right now yet, and not this first season, to be able to add all those things in, all these different graphics and all these different, you know, text behind everything. And I'm over here like, why? It should be easy. You know, and they tell me exactly why and the amount of hours that goes into it when you see those things on Sportsnet, on TSN. I'm like, oh my God, like, I never knew that. So to learn those things, and then, you know, every time you talk, we've got, you know, our producer E like, Bo, hey, you're popping your peas.
Like, you're popping your peas.
Waving the mic. I need you a fist away from the mic. It's been awesome to learn. You know, kind of, and I almost want to go back and watch our first episode.
Oh God!
Because I know for like the entire first episode, I was just staring at the camera like this, like barely even moving, yeah. And just being able to like see like how we grew. You know, it was awesome.
There's a reason people go to school for like 4 years for this kind of stuff to be pros at it. You know, we're certainly not that, but I think the one thing too that I took out of from being on the other side of the mic is, you look at Tony Romo, you look now at Peyton and Eli are doing, you look at all these other sports of these other athletes going behind the mic and being on that side, and you see the athletes being warm to them because they know that they understand what they're going through. You know, you're asking the right question. You're giving them the right platform. You're not misquoting them. And I think that's what, you know, Uninterrupted platform is all about. You know, giving athletes to come on, tell their story.
Yeah.
We're not cutting it out and editing it. Whatever they say.
We're not trying to find the juice. We're actually trying to give you the opportunity, that chance to step out of your box for one, show your personality a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, give your side of the story. And we're going to let you tell that full side of the story.
And how many athletes, dude, we got text messages back here. I'm gonna name the guests that we had, because actually when I wrote them down today, I couldn't actually believe when I went back to see who we all had. Mark McMorris, Max Homa, Mike Commodore, Kyle Lowry, Doug Flutie. We had Penny Oleksiak, Milos Raonic on the same show. Corey Connors, Marie-Philippe Plan, Damian Warner. Our boys, Ebs and Geo, came on for the Kraken. Chase Claypool, your boy Alex Singleton, Lee Westwood. Our number one show, Steph Labbe, off the Canadian women's soccer team. Like, that's some huge Canadian names. And you know what? 95% of them after the show either emailed us, texted us, or emailed our producer saying, great show, fun chatting with the guys. I felt totally comfortable. And to be honest with you, at the end of it, for me, I looked back, be like, That was our goal.
That was the number one thing.
That was our goal. We wanted to make sure athletes felt comfortable to come tell us our story, reach out. And you know what? I don't like to pump my own tires. You know I hate to pump my own tires. We did that.
You do it better than anybody.
I do. I can pump my own tires. But we did that. People felt comfortable. I loved it. And we had to do this because our producers are like, boys, we got to pick a couple favorites.
I was going to say, let's pick our favorite moments, go through them a little bit.
Memory lane.
Yeah. So, well, for me, I mean, you know, we wanted to get our show to a certain point. Me and you saw this taking giant, you know, leaps and bounds. And this was one moment for me. We had Penny Oleksiak on, and to find out that our show had a little bit more reach than it did. We'll roll the clip here, and then we'll talk about it right after. During this Olympics, is Phelps going to have that phone turned on so you can text him and get a little, you know, pregame chat, like, hey, you got this, go get it? What's going on with that?
If I'm being honest, I think he changed his number. And I don't think he's given it to me, which I'm annoyed about. So maybe.
New phone. Who this?
Oh, I used to be able to call and text him. Now it's like, I'm like, Michael, if you're watching this, reach out. I need you.
He's big dogging you before the Olympics because he's cheering for the USA. That's why I was wondering if you had him on speed dial or if he Hollywoods you during the Olympics.
See, love that because she said, hey, Michael, if you're watching this, please reach out.
That is,
yeah. Lo and behold, she Penny messaged us after the next day and says, hey, it's crazy. Michael actually did reach out, gave me his number again. And that at that moment, I'm like, okay, so somebody saw this, got it to Mike. He even went out of his way to watch it, hit up Penny. So for me, that was a great moment for us to be like, all right, our show does have reach and is going to get more and more as we kind of go along here.
Michael Phelps did see one of our episodes. He might not have saw them all. And my favorite, I mean, there were so many. It was impossible to pick today when we were going through it. But certainly on the humor side, you know, I like to keep it light and have some good laughs. When Max Homa came on from the PGA Tour, roasted my swing. He actually said you had a decent swing and then made fun of yourself.
Right.
It was unbelievable. So Aiden, roll that clip of Max Homa there, buddy.
You swing it, Bo, a lot like Corey Connors with the rhythm.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you have that. And then Benny, you do the opposite. You got the short, quick move. You got the meathead move. Where
yeah.
You look more athletic than us, obviously, with all, you know, the muscles. They talk about the calves in the video, but you can't turn like at all.
It's why golf is
so great, is you could come up there all big and strong and I know that I'm gonna hit, you know, my 7-iron, you know, past your 5-iron.
So that's still depressing to watch that, by the way. Like, I laugh every time.
That's great. I love it. I had a professional golfer tell me I had a nice swing.
It also still makes me a little bit sad to watch that. But, I mean, those are just some of the memories we've had from doing this pod, and it's been awesome. We had super fun. But looking back to how green we were, like, super rookie when we did our audition and then our first couple of shows to where we are now, not like we're professionals by any stretch of the imagination, but we're getting better.
But we almost know what we're doing.
So... As we talk about being rookies, our guest today, our last guest for episode show, speaking of rookie, this guy's an unbelievable superstar up-and-comer in the NHL. He's leading the league right now for rookie scoring from your Columbus Blue Jackets, number 34 from my hometown, Regina, Saskatchewan, Cole Sillinger. Welcome to the Benny and Bo Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
So we're going to dive into some hockey. We're going to dive into your wicked athletic family, all that stuff we got to do to butter up the Sillinger crew. But I got to know, I saw you this summer in Regina at the pool house before you got drafted. We were shooting the breeze. You were talking some pretty good smack about your golf game.
Ooh.
I got to know, how did it finish at the end of the season? And I'm really looking forward to getting into some of that NHL dough when you get home next summer.
Yeah, it was. I was pretty good at the end of the season, actually. I mean, my brothers left, so that was good. I got to play their pigeon buddies and take some of their cash. So I think I got down to like I left Regina probably at like a 4.
Ooh.
At the Wascana 4?
Wascana 4. So it was.
Is that a good 4?
Pretty good.
Way better 4 than me.
Came down to Columbus, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to play like the golf club. I haven't played Muirfield yet, but like golf club New Albany. There's some pretty nice tracks here. Couldn't tear those up, couldn't keep the 4 going. So I probably dropped down back to 6 or 7. Haven't been playing too much golf lately, but still, my game's still not bad. I can play.
A seven down there. Are those tracks pretty tough, like compared to the Waz? They're a lot tougher?
Yeah. I mean, the golf club, it's probably the nicest course I've played. And it's my favorite for sure. I mean, the greens and just like the elevation around and just the way the holes are laid, it's a real good track.
Private track?
yeah, there's only like, I want to say 100 members.
So, do you get on because you play for the Jackets, or one of your teammates a member? Like, what's the story down there?
The person I'm staying with, actually, his name's Greg Henschel. He's a member. So I can only play 3 times, and I've used 2 of my passes. So I got 1 more left.
That is beautiful. Well, hey, here's the deal. I'm a lefty too.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Cobra Puma. I got you some nice lefties. You bring me a couple lefty NHL twigs home, I got you some lefty golf clubs hanging for you when you get home here.
That's a done deal.
Here's a good story about his dad. So I know Cole from his dad, Mike Sillinger, played in the NHL forever, good buddy of mine. We're good golf friends. This is Mike's line on the course. And I just need Cole to score 33 goals 1 year, whatever year it is. If Mikey and me are playing for some cabbage on the course, if I got to make him putt. It's a 3-footer, and he's a pretty good putter. He's got great mitts.
You always make me putt 3-footers.
Well, you're a terrible putter. You have to putt. Mike's actually a good putter. He'll make it 3-footer, pick up his ball, and his infamous line he uses on everybody goes, "Boys, a little bit embarrassing. You making me putt that? I had 32 in the show." So, yeah. Tell me you've heard that line.
Only about 1,000 times.
Of course,
this is the best,
man. Cole. So I'm a Chesamere Lakeside 6, which is. If you watch me play, I'm really a 12. So
it's like playing at the Goulet.
Yeah. If you're a 4, I look forward to get out there playing you, but you'll be taking the money. Hey man. Right. So, you know, you might not know me very well. Obviously I know you, we were actually watching you get drafted and, you know, Benny's in here just telling me about you. He's like, yeah, we're going to take him. I hope we get him, but he's not going to fall to us. So it was awesome. I got to watch you get drafted. I got to watch your first goal. So obviously there's been a lot of success here, right here in the beginning, 18 years old. You just got told, I believe it was a week ago, that you're staying in the NHL. Congratulations on that. But I got to ask, success here up here early for me, Nick Lewis kind of took me under his wing. You know, anytime a play would happen, bad play, good play, he'd always be right there to say, hey, keep your head up, or hey, don't get too big-headed right here. Is there anybody up there right now that's kind of, you know, taking you under the wing or giving you the congratulations for staying in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, our whole entire team is kind of doing that, not with me, but with, you know, some of our other younger guys. I mean, we're the youngest team in the NHL, so I think our average age is like 24 years old. So it's being a younger guy, it's easier to kind of gel in with those 21, 22-year-olds. But I mean, a guy like Boone Jenner, a captain, Gus Nyquist, Werenski, Bjork, like all of our best, I guess, leadership group were kind of take me under their wing and just like take me out for dinners, lunches, and even just quick golf matches, whether it's just a couple holes. So yeah, all the guys have been super great to me up to this point.
So I've got a buddy in the NFL, Alex Singleton, who's he's told me some stories, but being 18, you get announced that, you know, you're staying. So now everybody knows the paychecks will be a little bit more consistent. Does that mean that you're going to be paying for some of those dinners coming up for these vets?
Hell no.
Yeah, so we got every game day we have a little bit of a lunch crew. So how it works is if we win that home game, that guy that pays keeps paying. So I'm on the pain train right now. We have like three home wins in a row, so I've been paying a little bit for the boys.
Yeah.
Oh, that is beautiful. So you were you're a stud in Medicine Hat. I remember you were playing for the Tigers, and then obviously COVID hit, and you went down. You played in the USHL. You lit it up there. Kind of skipped the AHL route that a lot of, you know, superstars do when they're 18 to kind of, you know, get their feet wet a bit. You go right to the show. What's the biggest difference? What's been the biggest jump? The gap between junior or the USHL and now the NHL, and kind of what have you learned? What was maybe the most thing that you did not expect that you saw when you got to the show? You're like, wow.
I mean, that's a tough question in my opinion, because obviously there's bigger guys, faster guys, like the whole game is just so much more elevated, right? But I'd probably just say the execution, the actual structure, like if there's a mistake, it's usually in the back of your net and vice versa. If the other team makes a mistake, you have to capitalize get momentum and stuff like that. So that's one thing I really noticed. I mean, and just in practices, like there's no missed passes. Everyone's kind of dialed in, and just like little details, like always hitting the net, stopping at the net, just stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, NHL, hardly to make.
Make a mistake.
And I guess the travel. I mean, we're traveling on a plane, dinners when we walk on, and it's not like the bus.
Oh, we're going to get there. You wait. We're going to get there.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right on that and ask you about that. So Alex would tell us, you know, he came from CFL, went to the NFL. He's telling us all the luxuries he's got down there compared to being, you know, here up in our league. So I got to ask, you know, going straight to the end of NHL right now, what are those luxuries right now you're just loving? I'm sure you're loving not having to pay for your sticks anymore. But what are those NHL luxuries that you can let us in on?
I mean, the biggest luxury is the place I'm staying. The families and or the couple's amazing. Greg and Liza Naiman, they hooked me up with everything. So they're awesome. But I'd probably say the plane is I love being on the road in the first place, like being with the guys, just like going out for dinners and playing cards. But it's nice not having to turn your back and on the bus. You just walk on, you leave your bag. Someone takes your bag for you. You get whatever, steak, salmon, sushi, whatever you want. And then, grab a deck of cards, you're playing cards, and then you land, and then you go right to the hotel. You don't see your hockey bag because it's already in your stall, like set up. And then, you go out for dinner and just kind of relax. So I like the road. That's the biggest change from junior to here.
Well, steak, salmon, and sushi, that's not what we're being served on the plane.
I could kind of get used to that living. That's good. That's better than taking the old bone rider, the bus to a curling game. I'll tell you that right now. That NHL life sounds pretty juicy. I got to hit on your family. You come from a ridiculously athletic family. Obviously, your dad played in the NHL for how many years? 18 years did he play in the show?
Yeah, we all know that one.
He drops that one too. That's why I didn't have to Google that one. Your mom's a great athlete. We always see her at the gym embarrassing all the ladies in there. She's just the most fit lady in the gym. Your brothers are both D1 athletes right now playing in Bemidji. What was the competitive juices like around that house growing up? You think that helped you get you to where you are? And how many mini stick games guys throwing going through the drywall were in that basement at the Sillinger household?
Well, first of all, there was a lot of broken walls and dented walls. And remember one time, Owen, my oldest brother, he pushed Luke's head through the wall, and I was a goalie, and it was right behind me. So I always got thrown a net when I was younger in the mini stick games. They always played 1v1. We had a super competitive household. It's always a competition, as you know, whether it's, who's going to score the first goal in the NHL game that's playing that night, or who's going to get dinner first, or even our golf matches, whatever it is. But I feel like that competitive or growing up in that competitive environment has obviously helped me now. But the most competitive person in our family is probably my mom. I mean, anytime she has a couple glasses of wine in her, she's always asking, like, who's going to do the plank for the longest. So we have a lot of fun. She's crazy. She's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. I grew up with three brothers as well. And when we would play football in the house, baseball, even in the house, we didn't even wait for mom to get home. We just went and grabbed. We went and grabbed the stuff and started doing the drywall right away. Yeah.
So Cole, I know you got a big night with the boys. You're doing some team bonding tonight, so we don't want to keep you too long. But we want to finish with a little rapid fire, get to know Cole Sillinger a little bit. So we got 8 questions for you. Ready to roll here?
I'm ready to roll.
So you're playing in the big show now. I want to know what car are you driving down there? What are you bringing back to Regina next year? What are you pulling into the Wazoo next year on the golf course with?
Right now I'm driving actually one of Greg and Liza's cars. It's Audi A6, but I'm going to probably lease something here this week. We have, we don't play till Friday, so have some time to do that. But hoping to, maybe buy something nice in Regina. I don't know yet. I'll do some
due diligence. I got you. I got you, dog.
On the dealers down there. So who knows? But something nice, hopefully.
We got to get you a car deal in Regina.
Well, I'm about to say, first off, let me teach you your first lesson since you're 18. You walk in, you tell them your name's Cole Sillinger. You'd like to speak to the general manager. And you tell them, hey, I'd love to represent this dealership and drive a car for you. And they're going to hand you the best car they have.
Cole,
don't go pay for one right now.
Couple Instagram posts with you flexing the weapons by the car. You're going to be good to go, buddy. You don't have to worry about buying a car in Regina.
Let's hope that works.
That'll work.
All right. Have you played yourself on the Chell, or for those that don't know, NHL 22, have you played with yourself yet on there?
I have not. No, I kind of made it unexpectedly, right? I was kind of assuming that I was going to go back to junior. So all my like video games, everything like that is in my Medicine Hat and Regina. So I haven't been playing much video games.
Are you in the game?
I couldn't even tell you, honestly.
Don't lie to me. I know your buddies have already hit you up.
You gotta know if you're in the game.
Your buddies have already hit you up.
I have no idea. I mean, I assume so.
That's great. So you talked about a fitness competition with your mom, Plank. Yasky was telling me today. So Dan Yaskowicz, trainer at Level 10 Regina, trains Cole.
Yeah.
I used to work out with him a little bit before I quit working out and got and don't look like that anymore. But he,
you never looked like that.
No, I didn't. he messaged me today and said, you got to ask him who wins a chin up push up competition between the brothers and Carlo. We know Mike doesn't win, their dad. He's a little bit of a bag of milk these days.
He doesn't even, he's not even in the competition.
No, he's not in it. So who wins it? Are the bros and the mom?
Mom, honestly, she's a freak. She for sure wins a plank. She can plank for like
hours.
Actually, Lucas is good too. They probably can plank for like 8 minutes. So I mean, that's pretty tough to beat. They're crazy.
8 minutes.
My mom would win the pull ups, but I think anything to do with the legs, I'll take home the trophy.
You got him, eh? I love it.
All right, so a lot of people we've had on here have been a little bit older. You know, when I say older for you, that's 24. So. Yeah. We've asked them their idols in their sport growing up, but I would imagine, and I'd love to ask you who your idol was growing up. I'd imagine it's probably somebody that's even still playing right now, but I'd love to hear the answer.
Yeah, one of them was Nathan MacKinnon, and
I mean, just beat him.
Just played him twice back to back, so that was it was pretty special. I mean, but guys like Patty Kane and Noah McDavid, ever since I mean when he broke in the league, those are he was the guy that I always watched.
Did you hit him with the line from The Replacements, the football movie? You line up next to him, just say, "Hey, man, after the game, I'd love to get your autograph."
No, I actually took I think I took two faceoffs against him in both games, and I mean, he knows our family a little bit. He just kind of tapped me in shin pads and said congratulations and stuff, and then I won the draws. So
did you snap them both back on him?
Yeah, I did.
I love that. Oh, good stuff.
Something I won't forget. He probably doesn't remember, but I won't forget that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you had your first, I mean, how many you got? Four or five goals now?
Four.
Four tucks. You had your first one just a couple weeks ago. It was all over the Twitter machine. Everyone I follow in Regina all retweeted it, right? At the Regina, the proud crew, right? So I seen it. Where's the puck? What are you going to do with it?
Right now, Columbus has the puck. I'm not too sure if they're going to do, like, they're probably going to put in a plaque, something special for me. So that'll be awesome. And, it'll probably go in my parents' basement until I get my own place, and then put it somewhere special.
Yeah, man, the little one time in front of the net. I bet the first time hearing that cannon go off for you was pretty special.
Yeah, it was very special. Every guy will never forget their first goal, so I'll remember that one for my whole entire life.
Yeah. All right. So, big golfer. We ask a lot of guys to come on here and they golf. If you can go to Augusta, you got one round. You can take any three people with you. Who's it going to be?
That's tough. One of them is my dad for sure, because he would love that. He'd love Augusta, and I mean, it would be tough not to bring my brothers as well. But I think I would kick them out. I'd bring my dad. I'd have to bring a pro golfer, so Tiger Woods, or Phil Mickelson, either or. That's tough.
You get Michael Jordan out there with your dad, there'd be some serious cabbage being thrown.
Yeah, I heard he's a bit of a DJ.
McDavid. I mean, grew up watching him, so he'd probably be fill that fourth spot.
That'd be a fun one. That's real good. So I was talking to, like I say, I was talking to Dan Yaskowicz, your trainer. He says, you got to ask Cole if you'd ever go on Dancing with the Stars, because he says in the gym, you're always practicing your dance moves in the mirror. What's that all about?
Oh, Danny. Yeah, I'm a good dancer. I mean, when I was 16 in Medicine Hat, we had a tradition before the game that, like, we'd play, it was called like a jump around. We'd play like a song with a beat drop. And then on the beat drop, our captain would go around and pick someone to dance, and you have to go in the middle. And me being the rookie, I was at the dance. So I picked up some pretty good moves that year, and just kept practicing in the gym at Delaware. The whole workout crew just gave it to me.
And he also comes into the gym now. We have the workout set out. And he goes, but Cole's the leader of the crew. And so he comes in, and Cole always changes the workout to what he wants to work on that day. And everyone's like, yeah, we'll do that. He goes, so I pretend I'm the trainer, but Cole's really the trainer for the whole group.
Danny always has us doing, I mean, he's a great trainer, but I always give it to him and say, like, we don't need our upper bodies or stuff like that. We don't run backwards. And I always want everything to do with like explosiveness or footwork or lower body. So anytime it's not that, I give it to him.
Oh, man. All right. So we ask everybody, and the answers have been pretty swayed towards towards triceps over there. But I got to ask, football or curling?
Football.
Oh, whoa, finally.
Finally, we get a
God.
Read. You know what? It's been a bit embarrassing. Everyone's going curling. So I'm like, it's good to get you a little bit of love.
About time, man. Who's the team you follow?
To be honest, I'm not a big NFL guy. I mean, I love the Riders.
Never mind. Interview's over. Thanks.
Down to Columbus, I went to all their home games, and with COVID, no one went to a game last year, and I haven't even been to the new building ever since it got set up. So I want to make sure I got a chance to go watch a couple games, and I really enjoy it. So I've been trying to follow along as much as I can.
Nice, man.
Well, the Riders are in second in the West, just ahead of Bo right now. I'll just keep you up to date. Yeah. Anyways, hey, Cole, man, I really appreciate you coming on. You're making Regina proud. You're making all of us proud. Your family, you're doing great. Nothing but the best in the future. You keep sniping a bunch of goals, and we'll keep cheering for you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you very much, Benny, and thanks as well, Bo.
Yep, thanks, Cole. See you,
cheers, brother.
Get it.
All right, well, that was awesome. Cole Sillinger, you know, I'm a friend of their families. I've seen that kid grow up into something like what he is now, being a total stud in the NHL. Great kid. Love to have him on the show. And don't be surprised if I hop onto our sponsor, DraftKings, and throw a little action on him to win Rookie of the Year this year.
Yeah, and all I know is if we go golfing with him, we're losing money and no one's looking at us. So that might actually be good. And throwing some shekels, let's talk about DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. It's putting all new customers right in the middle of the action. Download the DraftKings app now. I use it on my phone every single day, but make sure that you use promo code Benny and Bo. With your first deposit of only $5, you get a free shot at millions in total prizes. And for me, the way our donation station has gone, I could use those millions. Let me tell you that. It's easy to play. You pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and start winning millions in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Don't miss out on your free shot at millions in total prizes today. Some restrictions apply. See eligibilityrestrictions.com for details.
Boom.
DraftKings.com for details. Like that. Besides the last little part, man, these reads, we're getting good at them.
You're doing good. You're doing
good.
Let's
do it.
Let's get in the donation station here. And I'll tell you what, thankfully, we didn't have a show last week to actually give bets, because I was keeping the economy rolling on DraftKings yesterday.
It was bad, man. A lot of upsets out there.
Oh,
how much did you lose?
I'm not going to talk about that. Who do you got this week there, big guy?
I will say, I hit a little Ryan Tannehill touchdown was nice. I hit Travis Kelce first touchdown. That's where I always make my money. And then here's what I do. I'm dumb because I listen to Ben. He's like, hey, you got to check out some of these bet builders. They're great. So I checked it out, right? I always hit 5 out of 6 every single time.
I hit one good 2-game parlay yesterday, and then because I was losing, I rolled the whole thing into the Rams and Steelers.
True DJ.
The Rams and Steelers.
Well,
so the bet's over, and I got the curtain going tonight. I'm actually in my Chase Claypool shirt here, ladies and gentlemen. Bo bought me this shirt, as a matter of fact. Bo does nothing for me, just so anybody knows. He bought me this shirt after we had Chase on the show, so I'm looking good. I got my Mapletron shirt on today, cheering on my Steelers tonight, so... We got a couple bets for you here coming up. It's our last show, so I thought I'd give you a couple long bets that I could ride into season 2 when we fire back up.
I like it.
I got the Super Bowl winner.
I do too, so let's go back and forth on that one.
Okay, you want to start with that one?
Yeah.
You're going to be surprised.
I'm not. It's probably the favorite.
I actually didn't know they were the favorite until you told me off air, and now you're lighting me up. But I'm taking the Bucks, and I'll tell you what, before yesterday, I might not have taken the Bucks because I thought there was some maybe possible other contenders out there.
Mm-hmm. After
watching every good football team in the NFL that I thought was a good team lose yesterday, I'm riding the Bucs and Tom Brady to get his 8th Super Bowl. Because here's why. I just think he's better. His team's a little bit unhealthy right now. Like they got a bunch of injuries. They're still winning. I feel like they're going to get better. They're going to get healthy. And here's the thing with Tom Brady. What's their record right now, by the way?
6-2.
6-2. When does Tom Brady play his
best? Are they 6-2 or 7-1? I don't know. Either way.
They're good at football. And you know what? Tom Brady's football teams go like this.
Yeah.
They never peak early and bow out late. I got the Bucs doing it again. It's actually just going to turn into like this boring thing where Tom wins Super Bowls until he decides to retire. So I'm riding the Bucs, and they still pay pretty good, plus 800. 100 bucks pays 800 bucks, so I'm riding with Tom Brady in the Bucs.
No. They're plus 275.
No, they're plus 800. You're on the wrong website. You got to pay attention.
They're plus 275.
That's for him to win the MVP.
All right. He's wrong, but it's all right. Don't worry. Ben's wrong a lot. He doesn't want you to see it on air, but it's all right. So here we go. So the Bucks are plus 275. The Cardinals are plus 375. And I'm going to go with the team that lost yesterday to the Titans. I'm going with the Rams. And here's why. Here's why. Every single year, you look at the Rams, they get hot. They start to look really good. They have a great record. They might lose to some suspect teams every now and then in the past years, okay? But everybody's always said the same thing. Like, I just don't believe in Jared Goff. Well, I do. I'll tell you what. I do believe in Matt Stafford. Watching some of that guy's throws on the run yesterday, rolling to his left, I'm a quarterback. And I'll tell you right now, that's the hardest throw in football. And he is throwing it off the ear of a defender. And it is, those are the kind of things that when you do that in playoff time, it's big time. You have to have a guy that can do that. You don't, if I have Jared Goff, I don't even put him in the position to have the ability to make that throw. I protect him, which they always do. And you can see, man, like Sean McVay is being changed a little bit by Matt Stafford.
And they got a good defense too.
And getting to my second point, they just added Von Miller. They have a great defense. You got Von Miller, you got Aaron Donald, now you got Jalen Ramsey on top. Man, I just, and the reason I'm doing this is like, yeah, if I were to put my house on it, yeah, I'd probably bet for the Bucks, absolutely. But
at plus 700. I'm going to show you after the show.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's more because I think Cooper Kupp looks outstanding. I think that team it has the ability to play playoff football, and I can't just agree that the Bucks are going to walk in and win every Super Bowl.
Agreed.
He hasn't done it every single year. He's done it 7 out of 20 years, which is obviously amazing. But somebody has to come out there and make it a little bit tougher on him. And I don't think it's going to be the Cardinals. I do think it is going to be the Rams.
I like it. I mean, I'm up for the debate, but I want to talk NHL Stanley Cup playoffs here for a second.
Okay.
So we're way. I mean, everyone's they're planning the parade here in Calgary. The Flames have been hot. The Oilers have been hot. Alberta's hockey teams are flowing, right? So everyone's pretty happy around here. I saw a bunch of stuff. You know, McDavid had the grossest goal I've ever seen in the night. He dangled four guys backhand. Thanks for coming out. Big celebration. He's the best player. He's for sure the best player I've ever seen. Dominates a game like anyone I've ever seen. So there's a lot of stuff that he's the best. You know, better than Gretzky, better than Crosby, better than all these guys. And I said, well, he's never going to be better than all those guys until he wins a couple cups, because those guys have lots of cups. There's a lot of guys like, was it Marino? You know, a lot of guys that were really, really amazing quarterbacks that never won a Super Bowl. Yep. That'll never be put in the same category as the guys that have won Super Bowls.
Yep.
Yeah, no matter how great they were. So I think I've been watching the Oilers. They look amazing. They got two of the best players in the league, not just one, with Draisaitl and McDavid. And if McDavid wants to be put in the same category as the best of all time and those guys, his skill set is ridiculous. There's no question it might be better than all of them. He's going to have to win a cup. If you look at the best players in the NHL over the last 10 years, Ovechkin, Crosby, you know, Taves, Kane, all those guys, they've all won cups. So I think it's probably his turn. He's going to be due, and the team looks really good. I'm taking the Oilers, and they pay plus 2,900 right now. Oof. To win the cup. So $100 pays you 2,900. Now, hey, it's like 11 games into the season. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we're taking a break. By the time we come back, the NHL playoffs are going to roll around. Maybe we can hit it. But right now, it's paying real juicy, 2,900. I'm all over the best player in the league, McDavid, and the Edmonton Oilers.
I'll tell you what, I have paid attention a little bit to the Flames because obviously they signed my checks. I've become a huge hockey fan because of them. I don't understand the game obviously the same way you do, but I will say that the Oilers, the Flames, usually start off hot. And then there's usually a lull there in the middle, and then Edmonton, they think they're going to pick it back up. They don't. The Flames usually do. We usually beat them out. We get to the playoffs, and then we have to make it happen there in the first, second round. But I'm hoping that Flaming C definitely gets there, so I like that bet. Now let's jump back to the NFL. Did you have MVP?
No, I didn't have MVP.
You didn't?
No, I would take Tom Brady though.
Oh yeah, the favorite. okay, well I'm gonna go over MVP. For me, obviously, this is a quarterback award. I think Tom Brady is in the. I think he's in the the lead seat for it. He's in the driver's seat there. I think you've got Kyler Murray there. You've got Matt Stafford. You've got Dak Prescott. All having great years. But for me, if Cooper Kupp is
stays, I was just are you going Cooper?
I am.
He just broke 1,000 yards yesterday
and 10 touchdowns. What and the only stat. Person who else has done that, Jerry Rice. And the yards when you say that this young small receiver is going after the same stats that Calvin Johnson had at one point, you know what I mean? Like you're putting a guy in very, very rarefied air.
I like it.
So he's going for 2,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, which would be the second most all time, only behind Randy Moss. That's what he's on pace for when he was with who? Tom Brady. I don't know, man. To me, like if Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp turn it up, which I know they will, and they continue to play the way they've played, I don't think you give it to Matt Stafford because Cooper Kupp's going to end up having like 60% of his yards.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? He's going to break some records that I thought might not ever be broken. So I am going to go with Cooper Kupp, which pays plus 12,500. So
that's a great bet.
It's a fun bet. It's a fun bet for you to bet a small amount of money, and hey, you might win big. Here's what I will say about the Super Bowl winner. I do think you might be right. I think the odds I wrote down were the NFC conference winners. But here's the thing. I will concede that on air. So,
That's so good.
Ben, for one time, you were right.
Oh, that's good. Mr. Preparation, you're the best. I love it. Okay, here we go. I did a three-game upset parlay for everybody here because yesterday there was like 12 games. I think I picked four winners right in my pick and pool. There's just upsets everywhere. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do what DraftKings wants us to do, right?
Yeah.
Now go pick the upsets because that's exactly what
they want you to do.
I'm going to bait everyone to go donating money with me on Donation Station here, but I got a few good ones. I got the Raiders over the Chiefs. I got Cleveland over the Pats. And I got the Vikings over the Chargers. The Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs beat the Packers yesterday.
I don't hate those.
Well, dude, the Chiefs beat the Packers with Jordan Love. By the way, if Jordan Love can quarterback in the NFL, let's go.
He's a first-round draft pick.
Oh, it wasn't. He didn't look like
a So I will say, how about this? I have inside information. Okay. We just signed Reggie Bagel from the back, who was with the Packers
for
a year and a half now.
And?
I asked him, I said, hey, did you expect Jordan Love to do a little bit more? And he's like, man, I got to be honest with you. I think he's an amazing talent. The only reason I didn't is because he doesn't take any reps. He said Aaron Rodgers runs the show. That dude takes every single rep. He's like, so the only time he gets reps is in scout team throwing to me and other guys. He's not throwing to Devontae Adams. So when I saw him missing Devontae Adams, I knew exactly why.
Yeah, he looked like he was on scout team last night. That's for sure. So I'm taking the Raiders to beat the Chiefs because the Chiefs did nothing against the Pack, and the Pack had their backup going. Poor Patty Mahomes doesn't seem like he's having a MVP season. The defense doesn't look good. They just look a little bit out of sorts.
I'll say with him, what I see is that I don't ever see enough of just taking quick game. Like, catch the ball, throw a hitch.
Mm-hmm, no.
You know what I mean? Let a guy – it's always like catch, play action, pump fake, and then look for a deeper double move they always run. And I'm like, man, like, I just don't see enough like quick game out of their offense to be efficient.
Agreed, 100%. I got Cleveland beating the Pats. I don't know if I would have thought this after last week, but I watched the Cleveland Cincy game. Cleveland going into Cincy, Joe Burrow, they've been playing pretty good.
Yeah.
And Baker looked awesome. And they looked good. And they ran him out of the building. So I think they're going to stay hot. The Pats look okay. You know, your boy there.
The Pats are that.
They look okay. Yeah. And Mac Jones looks good. I don't think they're quite ready.
He looks okay.
He looks okay. So I'm on Cleveland. I think the OBJ stuff maybe was a little bit of background noise that maybe they wanted to get out of there. A little bit, maybe hindering the team now that he's gone. Maybe
and you know what it does? It frees up those younger receivers to feel like Donovan Peoples-Jones.
I deserve the ball.
Yeah, man, like, all right, I deserve to be here. Let me show why they made that move.
Yeah, I like it. And then my poor Chargers, like, I like the Chargers.
I do too.
And they're not playing. And the Vikings have looked like they were going to win the last five games, and they lose every game in the last 3 minutes. You know, my brother-in-law is a big Vikings fan. I always joke with him, like, the Vikings are going to Vike. They blow it late.
Yeah.
And they have. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to blow this one. The Chargers offense looks average. Old Herbskis, he's kind of fallen down the MVP race after he lit it up early. So either way, I got the Raiders, Cleveland Browns, Minnesota Vikings, plus 1,000. So $100 pays you $1,000 on Sunday. Don't fade the upsets. There was 8 out of 12 last week. I'm not fading them. I'm riding with it this week on Donation.
Yeah, no, I do like it. Let's talk. You did bring up one thing. You brought up OBJ. Let's go ahead and give people some fun. Let's make our predictions. Where does OBJ land?
Oh, man. Well, I think I could see him landing in the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, now that they just lost their receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He was their number one receiver.
They just assigned DeSean Jackson.
Did they?
That's a speed guy for them.
Ooh, okay.
Well, DeSean announced that he's signing with the Raiders. I don't know if it's official per the league yet, but.
I mean, I'd like to see OBJ go somewhere where he can get the ball to see if he still has it. I mean, a few years ago, everyone thought he was the best receiver in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
You don't lose your talent that quick. I think he has to land in the right spot that works for him and probably not demand the ball and be a good teammate and get it. And he wasn't getting it with Baker. They didn't have that good connection juju going. So I don't know where he's going to end up, but I thought the Raiders might be a good and they're a good team. Like, he probably wants to go somewhere that can win.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So Raiders are doing all right.
To me, I would say he wants to go to Super Bowl contender. So let's knock these off the list. Is he going to Tampa Bay? No.
No.
They've got the three best in the league. Is he going to the Rams?
No,
he doesn't fit that style. Sean McVay is not going to bring that into his locker room, I don't think.
No,
in my personal opinion. Now, could he go to the Cardinals? Yeah, AJ Green,
D-Hop.
Maybe AJ Green's not working out the way you thought he would. Maybe you got to bring him out. You bring in OBJ because that's a spread offense. That's one place I could see him going. But you know, a team that doesn't have another good receiver outside of their top guy, the Chiefs.
Well, they got Travis Kelce.
That's not a receiver. That's a tight end.
No, he's a receiver.
I know that, but what I'm saying is what they're doing right now, and I've watched the film, they're double teaming Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill with the safety. So they basically man up with their cover defender.
What's Josh Gordon doing? I haven't seen anything.
I just don't think he's into the playbook yet. I mean, dude, he's been out of football for a while. I think people expect him to come in and be Josh Gordon that he was. Flash. You know, and that's why Toronto Argonauts signed Martavis Bryant, hoping he would be that guy. He just never showed up.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah, literally. I think I could see them saying we made a move on Josh Gordon. Not sure if that's playing out right, but OBJ is a guy that, all right, that gives us a chance. He does have to be claimed off waivers, though. Okay. So we'll see. But I just think that's a fun one that's more of a Madden-type move, if anything. But
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we said on our last show that we were going to do a few more mailbag questions because our last show, and we had a whole bunch. We picked a few.
We did.
So let's just roll through a bunch of these mailbags for me and Bo before we say our tearful goodbye here.
Final goodbyes.
Final goodbye for season one. So why don't you start? You read them off. I'll give you an answer. We'll go from there.
All right. Jason from Kamloops, he asks, who is the funniest person that you know?
Funniest person I know. Buddy of mine from Regina named Rhett Hanowski. Super funny dude. Someone we both know, I would have him up there too, is Jonathan Hare that we golf with. Jono got to be up there for one of the funniest people in the world.
Definitely. One thing I will say, Sass doesn't have a lot of things, but they do have humor. I would say Benny's up there. Mark Mueller, my quarterback coach, those two guys. Every person I meet from SAS, they have this very dry humor. They know how to attack you. They have very quick one-liners. So I would say a lot of people from SAS, but the funniest person I know is definitely my little brother, Scooter. He's got a great name. And he's just one of those guys. Every time you say something, he has a reply right away.
It's hard not to laugh. You call him Scooter.
That's good. I have a great story about that. Paul from Toronto wants to know, what is a pro sports record you think will never be broken?
Well, there's only two that come to the top of my mind right away. It would be Cal Ripken's Ironman streak,
mm-hmm.
Tom Brady's 7 Super Bowls, and or 8 or 9, however many he gets to as a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to beat, I think.
Yeah, man. Damn, that Super Bowl one, I think, is going to be tough. Because I would say the Super Bowl one, I would have last year or even the year before argued with you because of Patrick Mahomes.
I would have too.
Right? But now that you see a couple years removed, you're like, man, now what does that team have to do to get back into Super Bowl contention? Totally. It seems like a lot. A
lot of rebuilds and a lot of guys have to shuffle through for a quarterback.
I think it just shows you, man, special talents are special. But, guys like Tom Brady, the reason you have the name GOAT next to him, isn't because the very next guy that comes up that grabs your attention is going to take his spot. He's a generational player. Totally. You know what I mean? For me, honestly, this is one that I thought I would break. But I just broke 30,000 yards, and I'm 9 years in. And the record in the CFL is 80,000 yards from Anthony Calvillo, which is 20 straight years of 4,000 yards passing.
Yeah, he was a stud, eh?
I mean, dude, that's not getting injured. That's not missing 1 year, one game. That's 20 straight years. It was one, when early on, I was like, yeah, I can get there. I can get there. And now I'm 9 years in, just passing 30,000. I'm like, how the hell did he do that?
That is a good one.
So, Calvillo, tip of the hat to you, brother.
That's a stud.
From Winnipeg, we got a golf fan, Adrian. If you could only have one tour level skill, driving or putting? That's easy.
Putting, not even close.
Not even close. I already drive the guys.
I don't, and I'd still take putting because you can whack it around and make some putts. And think about when we have a good putting day that we think is a good putting day. Now shave 6 strokes off of that. And yeah. You'd be so
good. Jono.
Yeah, exactly. Our buddy.
Another shout out for Jonathan Hare there. Scott from Vernon wants to know, what's the one rule you would change in the NFL?
Kickoff rule. So boring.
Just get rid of it? Just start at the 35?
Back it up, but kicking it through the end zone every single time. It's what are we doing?
I would say, once you did that, go ahead and get rid of it. The only reason is because now they have the ability to surprise onside kick kind of thing. So basically, I think it should be the kicking team's right to say, just give them the ball at 35, or no, we're going for an onside kick.
Or the rule is this, you can't kick it through the end zone. Or it's a penalty.
Oh.
No different than out of bounds. If it goes through.
The reason they did it, though, is to take away the collisions.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Well, then just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the kickoff for me, no good.
For me, overtime. College overtime. It's the best thing in the world.
Is that when they start on the 25?
Yeah. Because you know why?
It's the same as CFL, isn't it?
You know why? When Tom Brady plays Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, I don't want to see only one guy touch the ball.
That's brutal.
Yeah. I want to see both of them. And you know what everybody really wants to see? They want to see Tom score and then Pat score. And then they want to see Pat score and then Tom score. Mm-hmm. They want to see triple overtime. They don't want to see one guy drive down 12 plays, get a touchdown, the game's over.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Jessica from Calgary says, if we were to ask your wife, what would she say is the one thing about you that drives her nuts?
Jessica going after the darkness here. I mean, what drives my wife nuts? I don't know. It seems like everything I do kind of drives her nuts. Probably just like not putting my stuff
away. How about, right? Let's like, answer it for the other person. How about do that? How about that?
Oh God. No, I'm not doing that.
I am. Okay. I would say you golf too much.
Yeah. I mean,
not for me. I would say, the amount of times that you say, yeah, no, I have a,
she's good
a client. I have a client golf trip. She always looks at me and goes, Bo, I know he's not golfing.
She doesn't actually care if I golf. She cares if I come home when I don't, you know, tidy. I'm more of like a tidier. I just kind of put stuff in a different place. She's like, hey, idiot. That's not where that goes. That's not where that goes.
Yeah.
But that's more of it.
I mean, for me, it's easy. It's snoring. That's, yeah, snoring. Boring. It's easy. You're disgusting. Terry from Surrey, BC says, you guys did a show about your favorite sports movie, but is there a non-sports movie that had you crying in your 40 creek?
Crying like sad or crying laughing? Sad?
Sure. Man.
I don't like remember the last time I cried during a movie, but I know I cried the first time I saw The Lion King when the dad died off the cliff there when the... What's the guy's name? Scar?
Yeah.
Let the dad die and old Simba was pretty sad.
Yeah.
I think I buckled the tear in that one.
Yeah? Oh. Let one rip there.
I think Lion King got me when I was a kid. Yeah, a long time ago.
Oh, man. Man, crying. I would say maybe after having Ellie, like watching, I think there was a, I don't know the name of the movie. There was a movie where the like the child had cancer, you know, and I was like, and we knew some friends that have a child with cancer. It kind of hit deep. I'd say that's probably the only one that's really kind of got me. My wife actually kind of gives me crap for not having the ability to cry. I'm like,
you cry all the time. I cry all the time. Why I'm can't like, you cry with
yeah,
me?
Yeah. I'm like Will Ferrell from Semi-Pro. Like, so Tony from Calgary wants to know your perfect cheese wheel and what toppings are on it.
Favorite pizza? Oh, barbecue chicken, man.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I like the barbecue sauce and the chicken onions.
Yeah, you make a mean pizza, actually.
I like barbecue chicken pizza. Those are nice.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I don't eat pizza. I don't eat pizza.
No, never. Not with that body. Exactly. Yeah, I would say Supreme, honestly. I like a little bit of everything on there. Get it all on there. Nathan from Toronto, what is a sporting event in history you would have liked to witness in person?
Ooh. Well, I haven't been there yet. Well, I mean, I want to go to the Masters.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Masters. I want to go to Augusta. I want to see that. I want to see that golf course. So whether it's one that's already happened or I do plan on going there. So Augusta for sure for me.
I would say it'd be pretty hard to beat being at Augusta when Tiger made the comeback in the Masters. Man, being there at any of Mike's game-winning shots. You know what I mean? Just being a part of, like, every time they show that video, you're like, oh, yeah, I was there. That would be pretty special to be at, I think. All right, last one here. Let's go. Kyle from Ottawa. How do you guys pass the time on really long flights? Movie, read, sleep, do work stuff. What do you got?
He just nailed them all. Yeah, I usually download a movie and read. Absolutely not unless it's a picture book. sleep, and sometimes I guess if it's like if it's after a victory, sling some cocktails. If they have 40 Creek on the flight, I usually sling a couple whiskeys, and then go to sleep if it's a long flight. So all of the above except read. I don't read on a plane. Give me a break.
Yeah, I mean my long flights. Yeah, reading's not even in the options there. I don't sleep. My mom was a stewardess growing up, so I've always been really into looking out the window where I was flying. I always so like flying on our flights to go to.
It's called flight attendants.
To go to games.
We're not in the U.S.
Yeah,
I love it.
Well
okay.
I would say I always go over all my notes. I go over my plays. Make sure I feel like I'm locked in. And once I feel locked in, I throw on a movie or a TV show like Yellowstone, which by the way,
oh, it's out,
amazing.
Season
4, episode 1.
Yeah, I heard my sister messaged me about that. So I got one more here.
Yeah.
From producer Eric asks.
Oh God.
Now that you guys are business partners and not just golf buddies, what annoys you the most about each other?
Oh man.
Well, the answer is nothing.
Who?
Is the answer you? Put you on the spot.
No, I know. I want to answer.
Yeah. I know what mine is.
Yeah.
So it's not like really.
Would it be showing up 5 seconds before the show starts? You're like, here, Bo, here's all your notes.
Well, I can't be annoyed by that because I know that's a coming. like you not doing anything and me doing it is not me being annoyed. That's me. That's being in reality. So I would say the only thing that ever actually annoys me, and I've never even told you this, but like when you're playing football and I'm dialed into the game.
Yeah.
And I bet on you and you lose. So I don't get mad. I don't get sad. I get annoyed. So yeah, I ride with the dog and he costs me money.
Oh man.
So basically him just costing me money.
Yeah, well, I guess I'd probably have to say the same thing. I would say, yeah, that semifinal kind of hurt me this week. I didn't like that.
All right.
No, well, I would say the number one thing is on the golf course. It's probably the most annoying thing Ben does. All right. And every single person watching right now that plays golf with us is going to say the same thing. When Ben hits a shot and it's good, he turns around like, boys, if you like perfect, there you go. Okay. When you hit a shot and you think it's perfect, he always does that like that. Oh, come on. Hold on. Oh, nice. Nice. Okay. A little lucky bounce there. That's good. Yeah, like he tries to talk down all your shots because he doesn't want you getting confident because he knows once you're confident, you're good.
I got to bring you back down because golf is a confident game. Yeah. But all seriousness, that is pretty much it for season one. So that was a ton of fun. Season one's in the books. Hopefully you have a good rest of your season. I'm really hoping a good rest of my season. You get down to the States, we bring her back next year. But a bunch of big thank yous and shout outs that we got to do here.
Yes.
First of all, thank you for everybody for listening, watching our show. We really appreciate it. We've reached way more people than we ever anticipated doing this. It's been unbelievable. Shout outs. DraftKings for being our title sponsor.
Taking a chance on us there.
Exactly. 40 Creek. Uninterrupted Canada for taking a chance on us. Scott Moore, Vinay Vernami. Obviously, Mav Carter, LeBron, and Drake. We know they don't know us. We pretend like they're our bosses. They are our bosses. They sign our checks, but they do own the company that we work for. Thanks a lot to them as well.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, all the guys behind the scenes. Again, the fans, thank you so much for subscribing, listening, viewing. Benny already just named all the previous episodes, so we are taking a bit of a hiatus here until season two. So make sure you go back, check some of those out if you're missing us. But big shout out to our producer, E, the greatest mullet in the game. Aiden, 7-Iron Aiden, our tech guy. He takes care of everything for us, makes us look good. Callum there in the beginning, going out there, getting us sponsors, kind of making sure he watches every show to make sure we're not dropping too many F-bombs or anything. And Keyshawn, man, getting his clips and everything ready for us, doing everything in his meantime because he's a very busy guy. So thanks to all you guys. Man, special time. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks to you as well. Thanks to my co-host for doing a great job, brother. That was awesome.
We didn't get fired, which is pretty impressive.
We didn't get fired, and they're paying us to do this. It's a little bit unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Episode 13. Check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yep, hit us up, Benny and Bo at uninterrupted.com. Check out our socials at Benny Heaves, at Bo Levi Mitchell. Check out the newly launched at Interrupted Twitter handle. And that's it for season one. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to The Benny and Bo Show, a presentation of Uninterrupted Canada.